on page 623. The man who wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was travelling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed him by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bills run higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbour to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." This is the word of the Lord.
Ilana, thank you so much. Well, it's nice to be home. It lovely is. It really is. Since I was last with you, I've taken services at West Byfleet, Horsall, and even doing them at the cathedral as well. But it's nice. Well, you know, if they've got it, I'll wear it. That's basically it, you know. But it's lovely to be here. Thank you. So, following Mike's example, may my words be in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Over these past weeks, we've been exploring what it means to be servants of God. And Rob kicked us off with these words, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." We are called to be servants in the one who came as a servant. For us, as followers of Jesus, service is in our DNA. It is who we are. It is the way we do it. So let us learn how to serve. So how does all that God calls and sends us to do as the body of Christ in this real, messy, complex and diverse world, which I think is probably a good definition of mission that you will get, how does our service to God in the real world become distinctly Christian and a signpost to God's kingdom come? An American president, one of the more sane and balanced ones, yes, they did exist, was asked during an election campaign what the main issues were. His answer, "It's the economy, stupid." So pardon my French, but if you ask what makes our service distinctly Christian, it's Jesus, stupid. And the most well-known parable Jesus told, which we just heard in Luke 10, highlights this by showing us the key features that shape Christian service in the real world. So wherever we're called to serve God as a follower of Jesus, and thanks Andy and Steve for that song earlier, be it church, the charity sector, public services, education, health, business, public ministry, politics, industry, retail, leisure, the voluntary sector, caring, family, or I suspect for most of us, a mix of stuff. Let this amazing story reinforce for us what Christian service in the real world is all about. Next slide, thank you. First up, Christian service in the real world is shaped by boundless love. First and foremost, this story shows us that for service to be distinctively Christian, it needs to be rooted in and shaped by boundless love, Jesus. Humanity lies wounded by the roadside, broken by sin, suffering, injustice, and fear. Others pass by. Religion passes by. Power passes by. But Jesus comes near. Jesus sees. Jesus stops. Jesus touches wounds. Jesus carries burdens. Jesus pays the cost. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. Start there. And before we can go and do likewise, we need to know deep within ourselves that we have been rescued and loved. We have been healed and restored by boundless love. Henry Nouwen wrote, "Only when all of our service finds its source and goal in being loved by God can we be free to serve others for their sake and not our own." Christian service begins with identity. We are the beloved, serving out of our being beloved. And the key verse shaping this story is verse 33, I think. The Samaritan, this rank outsider, we'll think about that in a moment, is moved with compassion. We get that word again that I've used before in the Greek, esplanknisthē, splankna. Jesus looked on the crowd that were hungry and he had compassion on them. Splankna. It's a deep word. It literally means a deep love from the gut. Some would say a movement of the bowels, but that's too much information. It's that gut level love and mercy that flows from God outwards into action. The Samaritan helps this man not because he deserves it or belongs to his tribe, one of us, or is convenient to love, but because compassion overflows out from him. That is the heartbeat of Christian service, allowing the compassion of Jesus we have experienced to move us toward the suffering of others. And as Mike mentioned, all those mission agencies we support who are there present, but in Arosha's case, the suffering of God's creation. Steve Chalk, who I had the privilege of meeting and listening to a couple of weeks ago in Cheltenham, often speaks about the transforming power of unexpected and boundless love as being at the heart of the amazing Oasis movement that he and others head up. And he tells the story of Christine. Christine, a troubled child from a difficult background who constantly disrupted lessons and was regularly sent out of class. One day, standing alone in the corridor after another outburst, She saw the new head teacher, a Christian woman known for being strict. She saw her walking towards her. Ooh-er. Terrified, Christine explained to the head what had happened and admitted that she simply didn't care anymore. But instead of rebuking her, the head teacher stood silently and began to cry, held her hand, and then walked away. That night, Christine couldn't sleep. Why did she cry for me, she wondered. Nobody has ever done that before. For the first time in her life, she realized she mattered to someone. And from that day, her life changed. Long story short, Christine became one of the best heads Steve has had the privilege of ever working with. The boundless love and compassion of Jesus, experienced and expressed through simple acts of service, it really does have the power to transform lives. It really does. Next one, thank you. Christian service in the world is shaped by being with, I'm using that word again, with, and risk. The Samaritan doesn't help from a distance. He stops, stays, and shares the wounded man's journey. He binds wounds with his own hands, interrupts his own plans, and risks inconvenience and danger. Christian service in the real world. I don't distinguish that between Christian service in other places, to be frank. It's not first about fixing people, but being with them. Sam Wells, St. Martin in the Fields, reminds us the serving church is called to a ministry of presence, of being with. God didn't save the world from a distance. In Jesus, God moves into the neighborhood. And so Christian service, I think, becomes really holy in the simple, costly acts of being with. All right, this isn't singing and dancing and all the rest of it. It's just simple stuff. It's earthy stuff, I know. Sitting beside the grieving, listening to the lonely, staying with the struggling, refusing to abandon the wounded and forgotten. And of course, the shock of this parable is that the hero is a Samaritan. Someone despised and avoided by the Jews of Jesus' day. Yet he is the one who risks everything and crosses religious, social, and ethnic boundaries to show mercy. No wonder religious people can't get this. In telling this parable, Jesus refuses to let the lawyer get away with who defining who our neighbor is. And of course, who isn't, which I suspect is the lawyer's unspoken agenda, to be honest. Who don't I have to be a neighbor to? Oh, so nice to know that, isn't it? Boundary-marking religion is still quite a popular pastime for some of us. Instead, Jesus asks a deeper question. Who of these was a neighbor? And even the Jewish lawyer can't avoid speaking out the answer. The issue is no longer who deserves our love, but whether we will become people of serving love, who with Jesus trust and take risks by crossing boundaries to be with. Again, Nouwen says, compassion asks us to go where it hurts. Christian service crosses boundaries others refuse to cross, just as Jesus has crossed every boundary for us. Because whenever we draw a line between us and them, I think Nadia Bolz-Weber is right when she says we will usually find Jesus standing on the other side of it, calling us to follow him there. I'm sorry, but I think that's the way it is. That's what we've signed up for. And of course, the Samaritan goes beyond first aid. He carries the man towards safety, healing, and restoration. Christian service is about embodying God's unbounded love, crossing barriers, taking risks, and being present with others. And through such service, I believe we reflect God's passionate commitment to his whole creation and enable people to glimpse in Jesus the hope and the future that God offers us to all, whoever, whatever, wherever. Next one, thank you. Which leads me to the final point, really. Christian service in the real world brings hope and future. You see, the Samaritan refuses to believe the wounded man's story is over. He lifts him up, he carries him to safety, and he invests in his future. One of the theologians that I've wrestled with over the years, who I think gives me more hope than anything, he's not with us anymore, but Jürgen Moltmann, who was writing out of the darkness of war, evil, and human suffering that he encountered firsthand, insisted that the resurrection is not an escape from pain, but God's covenant promise that suffering, injustice, and death will not have the final word. In Christ Jesus, God is making all things new. Moltmann discovered this truth personally through the love served to him as a German prisoner of war by British chaplains who risked a lot by staying with him in his despair, and literally serving him into a place of faith and hope. And then for Moltmann, hope ceased to be naive optimism, but the fruit of resurrection faith. Therefore, because Jesus is risen, every act of Christian service becomes a sign of God's hope and future kingdom breaking into the world. It's that. A meal shared, a lonely neighbor visited, a refugee welcomed, an injustice challenged, a rebellious child's hand held. Each act declares this person is not forgotten. This community is not abandoned. The future is not closed and inevitable. Each act declares, basically, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Christ in us, the hope of glory. However small they seem, acts of serving love become foretastes of God's kingdom, signs of hope and future in Jesus. Because, folks, in the end, It is all about Jesus, the Good Samaritan. Next one, thank you. There's an old first century story about Rabbi Akiva. One evening after studying scripture, he became so absorbed in thought that he missed his turning home and wandered to the gates of a Roman fortress. From above, he heard a voice. "Who are you? And why are you here?" He was stupefied into silence. The question came again. "Who are you? And why are you here?" Rabbi Akiva pondered for a moment and then asked the guard how much he was paid to ask those questions. 2 drachma a week," came the reply. And the rabbi said, "I'll pay you twice that if you stand outside my house each morning and ask me, 'Who are you and why are you here?'" I think those are good questions for followers of Jesus. Who are we? We are children of God, servants of Jesus, people who have been found by Jesus, the Good Samaritan, when we were broken and in need, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And why are we here? We are here to serve in the real world, not one confined by our churches and our buildings and all the rest of the stuff and dogma and all that. To love with the love Jesus has shown us. To stay with people as Jesus stays with us. To take risks and cross boundaries because Jesus crossed from heaven to earth for us. The Word became a human being and dwelt among us. To bring hope and future. Because Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Christian service is all about Jesus, the Good Samaritan. So tomorrow morning, perhaps, you can get someone to ask you these questions. Someone's making a note here in this congregation, I can tell you now. Perhaps we should let those questions echo again. Who are you? And why are you here? And hopefully we will say, even through gritted teeth, "Here I am, Lord." And hear God say, "You are my beloved. I love you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now go and do likewise." Shall we pray? Lord Jesus Christ, Good Samaritan and faithful servant, you find us in our brokenness and call us into your service. Teach us to stay with those in need, to cross boundaries with courage, and to bring signs of hope and future wherever we go. May our lives reflect your love until all things are made new in you. Amen.